The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In Bexar County, there are currently more than 30,000 young people between the ages of 16 and 24 who are not working, nor are they in school. They're called the disconnected youth. The concern is that this population is on the edge of disaster, ready to topple into a lifelong series of bad decisions that will cost society and them and some timely investment right now and attention could pull them back from the edge and point them to the on-ramps of success and fulfillment. But we got to figure out how we're going to do that. So we're talking about today's disconnected youth here in Bexar County and across the state and across the nation. Lots of ways for you to join our conversation. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org, tweet at us at TPR Source. We're joined this hour with Rebecca Flores. She's the Education Group Program Administration for the City of San Antonio. Rebecca, great to have you here.
Thank you.
Steve Hussein, he is the Chief Missions Services Officer for Goodwill San Antonio. Steven?
Thank you.
And Tara Lazaro, she is a Field Manager for Communities in Schools San Antonio. So let me go to the City of San Antonio, Rebecca Flores. The city is launching a program to figure out how are we going to re-engage, reconnect with the disconnected youth. Can you talk about how the scale of this problem, 30,000, that's a lot of kids, a lot of young people.
Well, we, you know, I always say that this is like our family secret, but the City of San Antonio invests about $250 million a year around children and youth services. So we provide funding to schools for after-school programming. Obviously, our parks and libraries have just wonderful programs around STEM and literacy and reading and recreational activities. And we had convened a group of all of the city departments, the seven city departments who were working with youth, and like, what were we missing? Because we kept hearing from our police officers, we kept hearing from our judges at municipal courts, like, the city is investing millions of dollars in at-risk youth activities, and yet they were still showing up in our courts and not being reached by these nonprofits that we were funding. So we realized we had to do something differently. And then when we started doing research, really delved into the problem, we realized that San Antonio has a significant amount of, you know, again, opportunity youth, the 16 to 24-year-olds who are not working and not in school. And those were the ones that were appearing in our courts, that our police officers, our safe officers were seen on the streets, getting recruited into gangs. And that's when we realized we need to do something different. And that's how the concept of the next level came. A lot of it had to do we have a really innovative and visionary presiding judge, John Bull, who leads our municipal court. And with the help of the National League of Cities, that they provided us with some technical assistance, because there are a couple of other communities who have really delved into this problem and starting to see some results. And we're here today. We're very excited.
So these were not necessarily, and it wasn't a necessarily invisible population in San Antonio. They were just, if you weren't looking for them, you weren't going to find them. You were going to find them in the places where you didn't want to find them, which are in the courts and in the county jail.
And what Judge Bull always said is like, oh, I've been seeing them. I just didn't know they had a name. He didn't know about opportunity youth and what that really meant.
So we're calling them opportunity youth.
Correct.
And because it has disconnected youth, does that have some sort of stigma attached to it?
I think it's, you know, either way, I think depending on it's how you want to call it, but I think
because all youth are opportunity.
Correct.
Youth.
What we are really seeing is that they have tons of potential and opportunity to really become wonderful and vibrant citizens.
So it's aspirational.
Aspirational.
And Stephen Hussein?
Yeah, the name Opportunity Youth comes from kind of a national coalition of partners who work with this population. And what they found from interviewing these youth is they have a lot of hope, right? They don't believe that their potential is limited. They don't believe that they have run out of options. And so this term came from, you know, we really wanted to have a positive way to call them because, you know, when you start with a negative term to begin with, you're already disconnecting them again further because they don't want to be called a disconnected youth, right? They want you to recognize that they still have opportunity and potential.
Right, but that's pretty much the issue, is that they are no longer in school and they're not working. So Tara Lazaro with the Communities and Schools San Antonio, what happened at school with these young people? That's kind of like where we lost them.
Yeah. Well, the reason that we're seeing these opportunity youth leave schools is quite diverse. One of the things that we see often, actually, is that these youth are overage. So maybe they start kinder late or they're held back. And we know traditionally every time a youth is held back, they're at a higher risk to drop out later. And so it could be things like attendance issues, behavioral issues. Maybe they're really struggling academically. And those issues stem from things going on at home. If they're having trouble finding a stable place to live or they're food insecure, it's really hard to focus on education when they're still trying to meet those basic needs at home.
So being held back, that can happen for a number of reasons. You could have an illness yourself or someone in your family, and suddenly you have to become a caregiver in your own home. Even if you're 11 or 12 years old, that can be you. And then you miss a whole lot of school, or your family moves around a lot because of affordable housing problems, and now you're going from a school district to school district. It becomes, you know, very difficult to track, and sometimes you don't go to school. There could be like there's a whole story there of why this kid didn't make it to school that day after day. Now they're held back. They finally try to go back to school. It's just not working for them. So that's a failure.
Absolutely. And the school districts are really starting to identify these overage youth, and they're trying to start programs like allowing them to get back on credit by doing summer school, night school, earning credits online. So the school districts are really trying to target this population, but sometimes we still lose kids and they end up leaving school. And that's where we want to use the Next Level Youth Opportunity Center to re-engage this population.
We have an Upgrade is a program trying to get kids to catch up to their age level providing, but it takes a lot of effort. And not everybody has a support system for that, and they fall off, and then they become disconnected youth, opportunity youth. You know, I don't want to shy away from either term. I think disconnected youth really describes what we're trying to deal with, and we want to get them to become opportunity youth. So, Rebecca Flores, what is the solution that the City of San Antonio has come up with?
Well, we, in partnership with Goodwill Industries of San Antonio, Communities and Schools of San Antonio, we've come up with this collaborative where we have CIS, we call them coaches. We were trying to make sure that we use language that the kids could understand. Everybody knows a coach is there to kind of, you know, get you going. And Goodwill is there to help identify education and career options for the young adults. So the young adults come into the center. We do an extensive interview, so to speak, where we really try to get at, you know, what are the challenges that they're facing, but also trying to identify, you know, the assets that they bring. And some of it is to understand who is within their current support network. So let's say we don't hear from them in 2 weeks, they're not responding. We'll also have information on who we can help contact so that we can get them back involved. But we really learn about the young adult, all the challenges that they're facing. And then we meet as a team and we come up with an individualized service plan for each individual.
So there's a lot there. We're going to dig into that. Why are these kids, these young people, disconnected youth, opportunity youth, why are they ending up in municipal court and in the county jail? What sort of intervention can happen at that level as well as at our local school districts? If you've got a question or a comment, if you've got a story to tell about disconnected youth, opportunity youth in your world, what have you seen? Does this describe you? 210-614-8980. That's the number to call. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Nationwide, more than 5.5 million youth are deemed disconnected, according to Opportunity Nation, the Forum for Youth Investment, which estimates that young people are not in school or working, and it costs taxpayers $93 billion annually and $1.6 trillion over their lifetime, lost in revenue and increased social services. Here in Bexar County, we have over 30,000 disconnected youth, and we're trying to see, who are these people? How can we reach them? What do they want? How can we help them achieve success and become a valuable part of our community? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Do you have a friend or a family member that fits this disconnected youth description, age 16 to 24, but not in school or working? Does this describe you? We certainly want to hear your story. Do we know what the demographic breakdown is, Stephen Hussein with Goodwill Industries? Who are these people? What does it look like? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in San Antonio, this population is split almost half and half, male, female. And they're going to come from every demographic that you expect, right? And they actually come from all the different neighborhoods. So you might expect them to come in certain concentrations in part of the city. But if you map them, you'll actually see them in every school district, in every neighborhood, in every community. There's a slight over-representation of African-Americans, a slight over-representation of Hispanics and Latinos. But for the most part, it represents the demographic profile of San Antonio. What's interesting thing about them, though, is about half of this 30,000 actually graduated high school. So they have a high school diploma, and they're still not connecting to anything beyond, right? And so that's one of the interesting kind of assets and facets of this population is they have some education still, and they're not connecting to the economy.
Well, what are they doing with themselves?
They're at home. And sometimes they're the caretaker for the family. They might be taking care of younger siblings. They might be taking care of their own child. A lot of different reasons. But it really varies. It's unique. You know, one of the things about this program and the design that we had was it had to be custom to each youth because the causations of this are so complex, right? The reason someone's disconnecting isn't one thing or two things. It's five different things that we're trying to address at one time. And you have to have custom plans for them. You have to be doing these kind of intensive intakes with them to understand what are all the barriers that they're facing and understanding their past story.
So the city of San Antonio is working to, it has created a center to help these young people become, you know, figure out what is the center? What is it doing?
Well, the center, again, it's at the Frank Garrett Multi-Service Community Center.
And where's that?
1226 Northwest 18th Street. And that's where we have our coaches, our education and career coaches also. And we meet the young adult. We actually give them a tour. We talk to them about what to expect, what the program is, because this isn't, just come one stop and then we give you your paper and you go and you figure it out for yourself. We are establishing a relationship with you, and we will help you get and meet your goals that we work together.
Well, how do you get them there? I mean, if you're at home, what motivates you to finally say, well, maybe I'll get off the couch and I'll go do something with myself?
Right now, we purposely have tried to have like a soft opening. We have a new database. Staff is all new. And thus far, we've literally had young adults come through the door. We had one church who posted it on their bulletin boards. Grandmas got their grandkids. The word is getting out, and we're literally having people just come into the center, walking in and asking for help, that they've been wanting to go back to school or they want a new job. They just don't know where to go.
So I understand, as Stephen described, it's a different sort of a grab bag of different people.
Correct.
What's the mood like?
Actually, very positive. I think, I have been humbled that they have been so honest with us about their challenges and what their aspirations are and why they haven't been able to do it. And so some of them recognize they've made mistakes. And we basically said, okay, we'll be your second chance. And for some of these kids, we're their first chance, to be quite frank. We've talked about the situations that they're coming from. They're so varied. We have a young man whose parents are no longer here for various reasons. He's 18, graduated high school, and he is now raising his 12-year-old brother and 14-year-old brother. He wakes up every morning. He gets his brother's dress get some breakfast, takes them to school. And he basically hustles for day jobs. He does towel work. He does roofing, but it's not consistent.
And he could do better.
He could do better, and he wants to do better. He just doesn't know how. He's 18 and head of household now of a 12- and 14-year-old. And we've checked on their 12- and 14-year-old, and they actually have really good attendance. So he's getting his brother. He's basically sacrificed. He wants to be actually a nurse's aide. But he's sacrificing his life right now because he says, I have to put food on the table for my brothers. I have to, you know, make sure we have life. I mean, these are not lazy kids.
We're not sitting around playing video games all day.
Not necessarily. I mean, some of them probably, if we're honest, I play video games too. But a lot of them, they're going through some real challenges and that life hasn't been fair to them. And we want to make sure that we're there for them and that they know that they come to us. We are non-judgment zone. So whatever you've been through, whatever mistakes you've made, we're now going forward. And that's why we've always gravitated to the name of the center as Next Level, because all of us as human beings, we have a next level of our own personal development. And it's different from everybody. And again, we're not saying where you come to us is wrong. We're all going to the next level. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to get a caller in on this. Number is 210-614-8980. Justin, thanks for calling in. And Justin, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Mr. Davies, thank you for having me. My question is, I'm curious if any of your guests believe that this could be related to our modern day access to information and to knowledge, right? And could this potentially be related to the massive disparities in public education over the nation, but also, you know, this is known in San Antonio. This has been going on for a long time, and you know, could this be something where these people, these young students, and these kids are overwhelmed by the amount of knowledge that they're receiving outside of what they're supposed to be taught, you know, their whole lives.
All right, Justin, that's an interesting point of view. And so, Stephen Hussein.
Yeah, so, you know, certainly education and income disparity plays a factor into this, right? If you're graduating from high school, or if you're going through a school that doesn't have the resources for you, it's going to play a factor. But the other thing is, you know, again, to service navigation, nonprofit and government entities do a really, really poor job of helping individuals navigate their services, right? They, you know, trying to navigate a childcare system, an education system, a healthcare system, a workforce development system, social support systems, and just lead a life is really nearly impossible. And that's a factor. That's why they're staying disconnected, because people don't know how to navigate this system of services. And that's just a real issue that we have to face as a community.
But it seems like – so we're going to take a break here, but it did seem like our caller was talking about how overwhelming it is to be at that age. You do have so many opportunities, but yet you don't know how to access them, and you don't know what it is that you want. And it helps to have a coach, someone you can reach out to who understands the world a little bit better and can hold you accountable. So we'll talk more about that. Well, we're going to take a break here. It's going to do our Texas Public Radio pledge drive for the next few minutes. Have some callers on the board, but you can hang on or you can call back in 5 minutes. But we will get you on the air to get your question as we talk about disconnected youth here in San Antonio and Bexar County. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be taking a break, and then we will be back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about disconnected youth in our community. According to research conducted by Measure of America on disengaged youth, San Antonio ranked 20 out of 25 of the largest metropolitan areas in the U.S. for the most youth between the ages of 16 and 24 not working and not in school. San Antonio exceeds the national average of 11.7% and other Texas areas, metro areas. So San Antonio, this is a problem. And our guest, we have Rebecca Flores from the City of San Antonio. She's the Education Program Administrator. Stephen Hussein with Goodwill Industries, Goodwill San Antonio, Chief Mission Services Officer. And Tara Lazaro, she is Communities and Schools in San Antonio Field Manager. And do we know if this is a problem getting worse? Is it something that's always been there, or is it just something that's developing? And so, Stephen, any ideas?
It's always been there. Actually, our numbers haven't improved, so they've been pretty flat over the last 5 years.
Okay, so that's encouraging. So it's not a snowballing kind of a problem, but it's still a major problem, certainly compared to other communities. Earlier we talked about how this was something that one of the eye-opening experiences when we looked at who was being caught up in our local judicial system, municipal court, county jail. We saw a lot of young people who were not all disconnected youth are getting in trouble with the law, but that certainly is where we're seeing some of this happening. So can you tell us more about that, Rebecca Flores?
Well, as you said, it came to the city's attention because we obviously have our police department and our municipal court, but
ne'er-do-wells will be
correct. But again, as you know, Stephen said, half of our opportunity youth have graduated high school, so they, you know, had the perseverance to get to high school. They just haven't made that connection of what they learned in high school and how to translate it into our current workforce and what our workforce needs and what jobs. So that is, you know, again, what we really need to, you know, the economy is changing. And as we know, having some type of post-secondary credential or education is tantamount to being successful for our economy in the future. And these young adults haven't quite made it there yet. And so we're really focusing on them. And one of the things that I think we were, Jessica Weaver, who's the CEO of Communities and Schools, we went and we visited a reengagement center in Washington, D.C., and we were part of a collaborative of other communities. There's about 25 cities within the United States who are having some kind of coordinated effort to support their opportunity youth. But one of the kind of humbling statistics was a high percentage of these young adults have some type of special needs. In Washington, D.C., the clients that they were getting at their reengagement center, 26% had some type of special need identified when they were in the public schools. Portland, Oregon, theirs was at 60%. So we know that, you know, besides having all these personal challenges, many of them also have challenges on the educational side, and, you know, that compounded together really makes it difficult for them to kind of navigate and be successful in the system long term.
So something like dyslexia, something correct, that would help them, some sort of processing that could be a challenge in the school without getting special help along the way. They're probably really smart and ready to rise to the challenge, except they never got an opportunity.
Correct.
And so let me go to the callers, and the number is 210-614-8980. Anthony is on the line. Anthony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I appreciate it, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead, Anthony.
I was curious. I work for a local school district here in San Antonio, and it's always our mission to attempt to connect our children through STEM programs and through different organizations. We work very closely with CIS. We work, you know, with P16 when Hussein was working with them. And I'm curious as to what initiatives are being done in order to eliminate this problem from growing, in terms of how do we connect them really early on? Because I think that we see a pattern with regards to they don't turn 18 and become disconnected. They're kind of disconnected in middle school, and they're kind of disconnected in fifth grade. And so I wonder what kind of efforts are being done to work with school districts and or other organizations to catch them really young.
All right, Anthony, great question, Anthony. Tara Lazaro is the field manager for communities and schools in San Antonio. So are there identifiers, red flags early on to try to help these kids before they become disconnected?
Absolutely. The Texas Educational Department has at-risk indicators. They can be things like failing STAR, being homeless, being a teen parent. Any of these things can be indicators to let us know we need to flag these kids. But as the caller mentioned, we do have communities and schools. It's a national program, but here in San Antonio, we have it in more than 90 campuses. And what our staff do on site is they work with the team, the administrators, the teachers, to really identify these at-risk kids and provide ongoing case management. So if a kid is really struggling in a class, we want to flag that child and see what's going on. Do they need special education services, or is there something going on at home? Do they need food? Do they need shelter? A lot of times we're working with higher level kids. Maybe they're in high school and they're struggling with something simple like bus passes. And that's something our site coordinators can readily provide. So we are working in general. Dropout rates are declining over the last few decades, but it's something that we want to continue to do. The Obama administration set a goal to have dropout be less than 90%, and so that's something that we're continuing to work towards.
You know, that's always an issue. Transportation is a big barrier for a lot of people to access services, and it seems crazy that kids can't get to school because they don't have the money to catch the bus. I mean, buses should be free. It's just straight across the board should be free, and particularly for children trying to get to school. A bus driver should be able to eyeball and say, you're going to school, you don't have to pay. I mean, why can't we just do that? I mean, that's a question you can't answer, but I think as a community we should try to start, you know, scratching our heads and saying, why are we putting all this money into public transportation and we're worrying about nickel and diming these families that are trying to keep things going? Let's go to another caller. The number is 210-614-8980. Jacob, hi. Jacob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me. So mine's kind of lengthy, if you excuse me. But
we'll go right ahead.
I think what's happening here is a lot of these people don't know what to do because – the message across getting out of high school is let's go to college. Sometimes college isn't best for everyone. And then when trying to find a job and people don't know, you can find a livable job if you look for it. But the problem is a lot of jobs require entry-level experience, and it doesn't make sense if an entry-level job requires experience, like a year of experience. So that's a big problem I've seen with a lot of people, and they just get depressed, and lack of motivation happens a lot right there.
All right, Jacob, you bring up a great point, and I think the word we're looking for is hope for a lot of these kids. They try to get a job someplace. The pay is not good, and it's frankly, it's not fun work. That's why they call it work, but you have to learn how to do hard work, it's just hard. If they don't see that hope is out there, why not check out? I mean, is that part of the cycle there, or Rebecca Flores?
It can be. But, you know, not only are they checking out, but like we had talked about, this young man, he has real responsibilities to raise his 12 and 14-year-old brothers.
So is that typical? What's the typical thing?
It's not untypical. I think there's no typical, and that's why I think one of the strong parts of our program is the individualized service. So the plan that we would develop for you versus another person will be completely different because we really try to understand your life experiences, your life's challenges, and your assets and your aspirations, and come up with the realistic plan for them. We've had conversations just actually yesterday. I was at the municipal court, and one judge in particular, she told me that this young lady came in, sad case of why she was at the municipal court. But the judge was ready to say, I'll dismiss all these charges, but you need to go to the next level. And she explained what happens at the next level. And this young lady just started bawling. Because she's like, do I really have a second chance? Someone's going to help me figure this out? And that is the reactions that we're getting. If there's anything typical, it's that the reaction that we're getting when we do get them in the door, when we do have a conversation and we tell them we're here to help you. They're rising up to the challenge. And we're going to be there 100% for them. So we're just, it's been humbling work. It's hard. I'm not going to say that it's been even our 1 month. The stories that we're hearing of what these young people are dealing with is tremendous.
And how big is addiction in this system?
It can be. I think the communal attitudes around marijuana, particularly for this young group, is different than when I went to school. And so they don't realize that that is a significant barrier to them for employment because, you know, it's so common now. So we
semi-legal.
Correct.
But still criminal.
Correct. And so we have those conversations with them. But a lot of it, you know, adults have failed these young adults. Not all of them, but many of them have had adults in some capacity fail them.
Right. This is a quote from John Bull, the presiding judge of the San Antonio Municipal Court. And this is from the Rivard report that covered this thing. He says that children do not get to choose the environment that they're born into. He said that many of the disconnected youth he meets have never had a first chance, much less a second, and each one deserves a helping hand. You can't look at as many as 30,000 youth, and you have to look at each one and say, who am I talking with today? So John Bull, he's a charismatic figure. He's not a hug-a-thug kind of a guy, but he's very realistic. And so you have his support in trying to figure out a way forward.
Absolutely. I mean, he's been integral to the creation of this program. His vision for not only the next level, but I think his vision around how we deal with youth. It's just challenging how we do business within the city of San Antonio.
All right. We're talking about disconnected youth, opportunity youth here in Bexar County. Is this describe you or a friend? Did you go through this when you were trying to come up? Did you figure it out? What does the community need to do to help reach out to the disconnected youth? The number to call in with your question or comment is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And the source is going to continue right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about disconnected youth here in Bexar County. How can we engage with them, give them a chance to become productive members of our society, figure out what led them to no longer be in school, not get engaged in employment, where are they in life? How can we help them? Because there's a lot of great talent right there. This is a human potential that we cannot just allow to be frittered away. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. David has called in. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, this is David. Thanks for having me on the program. I was actually Stephen's principal in school. Hi, Stephen. So my question or comment is, Stephen is obviously an example of something that can happen to a kid that finds an at-risk high school and graduate. And we work in conjunction with CIS now. We didn't when Stephen was in school. But the second level is the next level is such an incredible component to add to this. Because all these kids flounder sometimes when they get out. Our school had a very good success rate with military, tech school, and kids like Stephen that go to college. But the funding for the program, Next Level, where does that come from? Is it all school district funding? I would just love to see that happen in the Shirk-Cibolo district where I came from. I'm retired 2 years. But, again, I want to give kudos and to you guys for what you're doing. And hold Stephen up as an example of what can happen if the system finds these kids and does the right thing by them. That's all I got to say.
All right. David, thank you for that. Stephen, were you a wayward youth that found the right path?
I was. I actually dropped out of high school. And David, Mr. Knox, was the principal of an alternative high school within Shirk-Cibolo that takes disconnected youth and dropouts and allows them to recover those credits and actually graduate. And so their model was and is very successful. If you look at their graduation rate from an alternative high school, it's about a 90% graduation rate, which is crazy high. And so, you know, one of the reasons I'm interested in this population was I was one. And I had people in my life like Mr. Knox who helped me find my way.
Did you think at that time that people looked at you and saw you as a throwaway youth, that it was not worthy of the investment?
Yes. Yeah. And even now when I tell people where I graduated from, that are from that neighborhood, they're like, what happened to you? And so there's a perception there for sure.
And these are not throwaway youth now with this disconnected youth population here in Bexar County. I mean, are they, Rebecca?
No, they're not. So we've already been successful with a couple of them and helping them get into actually help them with their interview skills. And a couple of them have already gotten jobs. We've already enrolled a couple back into GED programs. And, you know, the we're just getting started. We haven't even been open a month. So,
right. And so to David's question about funding.
Currently, the next level is funded solely from the city of San Antonio. And we were very fortunate for a
JP Morgan Chase
gave funds to Goodwill to help also. So it's a combination of private philanthropy and city funds.
And you're working whether with Goodwill and also communities and schools. How did communities and schools get folded in into this?
I think we just have a history of working with at-risk kids, and so we really wanted to target the kids that have already left school, this opportunity youth. We see it at our current schools. I mean, I had a kid myself who was one credit shy of graduating. She was overage, didn't want to come back the next year, and it was really about that relationship, which is what Communities and Schools is about, is reaching out to her even after she left, making phone calls, writing letters home, doing home visits, building that relationship so that she could finish that credit and eventually graduate. And so that's what we're about, is building that relationship. And the Next Level Youth Opportunity Center, our life coaches really want to support you towards your goals.
And I want to commend Goodwill in Communities and Schools, because when the city, we basically put out the challenge, like, we have a problem. And we know this is going to be very difficult, and our success rates, it's going to take us a long time to actually see that needle move. And these two nonprofits stepped up, and they were saying, we're okay with that. And I, you know, I always put it in the context of how our city council in the city now talks about our chronically homeless. We understand that this is a very difficult population, and it's a long-term solution, and our success rates aren't going to be as great as they are if we get them much earlier, but it's much needed and almost more rewarding. And again, these two nonprofits were right there with us, and it's been a great collaborative partnership for reaching some young adults in our community that no one really was targeting.
And real quickly, before I go back to this next caller, so Stephen, where do you think, where would you have ended up if you didn't get that second chance?
I would have probably gotten my GED. I would not have been here today. That's for sure.
Let's go to Jason on the line. And Jason, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I just have a quick question. I was wondering, have we reached out to local companies or even Fortune 500 companies and asked them about some mentorship models, and then thought about doing maybe some state-funded programs specifically within local high schools where the class is geared towards resume building, leadership academies, things of that nature to really kind of get that onset going as a class that they could take at any local school?
And Jason, thank you for that. So our human capital potential, helping these kids. So Stephen Hussein.
Yeah, we actually just got a call from an employer last week who's interested in taking interns from the Next Level Center and paid internships for those youth, which is, I think, is a really exciting opportunity for them. There's a lot of companies who go into the schools, and Goodwill has programs working with CIS, actually, at several of these high schools to bring some of those services early on, again, from a diversion standpoint. But you know, overall, the number of internships in San Antonio still needs to grow. We don't have enough of them to support the population.
So with the Next Level, what you're doing with your Opportunity Center, you're dealing with one-on-one as they come in the door. Are you going to kick this up a level? How are you going to wholesale? How are you going to wholesale this problem? 30,000 kids out there.
Correct. And I think, you know, we just needed a start. And so we know that this initiative, you know, it's still, we're targeting about 600 youth in our first full year of operation. But we've been already having conversations with nonprofits, with Workforce Solutions Alamo, about how do we scale this. But, you know, we're really hoping to make this as a process as seamless as can be for our young adults. As Stephen said, there's real challenges with, you know, you come to my organization and we have this long intake form for you. Then you go to the next one and they're doing exactly the same thing. And it can get very repetitive and very difficult to share your hardship and your story. And so we've started a conversation with a trusted kind of a smaller group of nonprofits of how do we make this seamless so that once they go to your organization, they don't have to repeat all that paperwork, their story. You just basically start where we left off. And that really is kind of our long-term goal. We're also really concerned and paying close attention to our evaluation component of this. And what data are we going to learn? Because as a city, we have, you know, I guess the chance to really change policies and really understand what's missing in our young adults' lives.
You know, frequently I've noticed that a barrier for a lot of people is that they don't have the paperwork. They don't have the identification requirements that are needed right now. And it's very difficult to get that all that stuff gathered together. And I know that there are efforts to try and help people along that way. Can you help people if
yes.
they come in with adults? I don't have an ID. Can
yes.
you help me?
Yes.
That's been
we,
one of the top things yeah. we've been having to work
we
on.
We do ID and credit, I mean, ID recovery and help them with driver's license. So, yes.
That's a biggie. That's a biggie because once you get that, you can start getting services.
Correct.
All right. So I want to thank all of our guests. We're going to take another break and go into Pledge Stripes. We're wrapping up the source right now. Thank you, Rebecca Flores, City of San Antonio, Stephen Hussein, Goodwill San Antonio, and Tara Lozano. She is with the Communities and Schools in San Antonio. We're talking about disconnected youth. We've got some follow-up information on our website at tpr.org. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.